we enjoy this half an hour with Josh Masoodi is here. He's looking smart as he does. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys.
Good to see you, mate. Then another week in the world of rugby league and seventh tackle. Plenty to talk about. What's happening at the Doggies?
Yeah, it sounds like Aaron Woods will be a new addition next year for them, really. He was spotted having lunch with a few of their players in the shopping centre. Now, he is very close to David Clemmer. We know that through State of Origin and Josh Jackson and Josh Reynolds and whatnot. I've actually seen him, guys, on Edison Lane before a Dogs game at Belmore, dressed in a cap, shorts and T-shirt, going just to watch them on the hill. That was last year.
Is that right?
So he's quite a fan of those boys and seems to be very close to them. And, yeah, the mail was overwhelming yesterday that he'd agreed. Spoke to Raylene Castle. She said that nothing had been signed as yet. And when you're a journalist, having had these conversations for years and years, you sometimes might realise that might be code for the fact that we're in the 10-day cooling off period.
Well, particularly when they're playing each other this weekend.
Yeah.
So you got the Bulldogs up against the West Tigers. I've got to admit, though, I didn't think the Bulldogs were actually in desperate need of a prop forward.
No, it's weird. I think from what I can tell, they don't feel that they have a middleman who can play the big minutes that Aaron Woods can. James Graham used to do that a few years ago.
Older.
He's almost played, TK, 400 games of football at 31 years of age, and his body is not what it used to be. Sam Cassiano, well, you know, Aaron Woods' motor's just a little bit bigger than his. Greg Eastwood's the same. So they've got a lot of big impact forwards. But no one who has the endurance of an Aaron Woods, that's what they like about him.
It'll be very interesting. It certainly gives it away, I think, having a latte with those
boys.
Well,
I think if it was the Roosters, it would be a latte. But I'd say being the Bulldogs, it was probably just a, you know, an espresso.
Yeah, what about Nescafe?
Yeah.
It's a bit of Blend 43. They're pretty blue collar.
I think they go a bit better
than
that,
proud actually. Of that. Makona, all right.
Piccolo, do they have piccolo or is that like a latte? Cyclists have piccolos.
I know in the seventh tackle department, you've got a story with Gareth Widdop here regarding his off contract, on contract with the Dragons. And the fact is that, yeah, coming out, Paul McGregor as the coach of the Illawarra Dragons, he has this beautiful fend, which he used to have in his playing days, by the way. It was a very, very big fend, wasn't it, for Mary McGregor, that I've got nothing to do with retention or re-signing, retention or signing of players, which I find hard to fathom. Being a head coach when you live and die by the players you've got.
Yeah, but it's true, TK, that they restructured the entire club last year on the back of a very disappointing season. And there was a feeling that Paul McGregor simply had too much on his plate and didn't handle it very well. Some other coaches like Des Hasler, Craig Bellamy, they get involved in these type of things. But the committee that St. George brought in felt that he should be removed from that process. They put Ian Millwood there, who himself is a former coach, to handle that. So, yeah, you're right. It's a great handy tool for McGregor to answer these questions with. You just can't ask him. I will say for St. George, though, Ian Millwood is excellent with the media. If you ring him and ask him these questions, he'll brief you very well. So they're doing a good job on that. But on Gareth Widdop, it's a poison chalice almost for St. George Illawarra. His form, the better he plays, the higher his price goes up, the more difficult it is for them to retain him. They've got an offer on the table of $2.3 million over 3 years. It's $780 a year. And Widdop has basically said no. And you can probably understand that given what Ben Hunt is going to be paid.
Tell me what a fullback's wage is, given that that was part of the press conference yesterday, pushing him, or Danny was pushing him on, you're offering centre money, but he's a fullback and that's where you're going to play. So what, I would think 750 is pretty good fullback money as well.
Oh, I think Dugan's thinking seven figures. I think he's thinking a million. 800 for the cream of centres. Michael Jennings is probably on that. He's probably the only centre that's on that. And Josh Dugan, he's playing in that position for Australia and New South Wales, so he's probably entitled to it as well. And then you ask about a fullback, we'll look at the best ones. Billy Slater would be on a million. James Tedesco is going to be on over a million. Darius Boyd would be up around that figure. So so that's what he'd be thinking. Yeah, 800 wouldn't cut the mustard.
All right.
He's an interesting one for me. I mean, I know this won't happen because of Wayne Bennett. But if I'm CEO of the Brisbane Broncos, I'm saying to Darius, there's 500.
For Darius Boyd? Why would you say that?
Where's he going to go?
Oh, there'd be plenty of clubs that would
Mate,
jump all over Darius
Boyd. He's never been coached by anybody
Boyd.
Else but Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, but
he's inexplicably linked to Wayne Bennett. They're joined at the hip.
But then if you had a good relationship with your boss and he exploited that by saying, well, I'm going to cut your wage in half.
Well, Wayne's not the boss. He either wants to shift around with Wayne and stay with Wayne or not.
Yeah, but they're a club that is actually run where Wayne Bennett has autonomy, unlike St George, and he is. He is, and he should be.
Well, they should put you back to 50.
I'd be saving. Why? Because I want to work
Why don't
with
they
you.
Put you on 50? Where are you going to go?
I thought because I wanted to work with you.
If you run the same theory, don't worry. Look out. Look
I'm still
out.
Ticking, mate. Don't worry.
When you throw ideas like
plenty
that
plenty
of
tried to kill me
careful.
Off, Slade.
Be careful. Yes, exactly. Hey, exactly.
I'm still going.
Foreign, mate, where are we with Kieran?
Very close, yeah. Actually. Yeah, he hung out in Sydney for the last couple of days. He's only gone back to New Zealand, I think, on Wednesday morning. And met some clubs. One of those was the Bulldogs. I also understand the Sharks and the Tigers. And, of course, met Nathan Brown as well up on the Central Coast over the weekend. This, for me, is the most interesting one. Woods, mm. Tedesco. I think Foran is actually the plank that's holding up the whole market.
Mm.
And once he drops, I think you'll see them all begin to fall into line behind that. I really, really think Newcastle are a bit of a chance here.
Okay.
For Newcastle, and Brownie's talking it down, which he's going to do, but I think inside he'd be really hopeful. It would be the ultimate panacea for Newcastle because all these other players, your Ben Madalinos, your Aaron Grays that they're trying to recruit, they suddenly wouldn't need to pay overs for them because come and play alongside Kieran Foran. That's the selling point.
Mm.
It's a huge opportunity for them, and I don't think the market is actually as strong as it could be. The Bulldogs, as we know, have some major issues with their puzzle to sort out to fit him in.
They'll work it out.
Do the Tigers, does he want to go to a club in turmoil like the Tigers? Mm. The Sharks, James Maloney looking for an upgrade as we discussed last week. They've got Chad Townsend, where does he fit? The way is open for Newcastle here. This is a big opportunity. The Warriors, of course, Kieran Foran is absolutely agonised about leaving them. He knows what they've done. New Zealand are throwing everything at him. They've got Eric Watson over in Switzerland on the phone to him, trying to keep him there. He feels terrible about the fact he has to leave, but guys, it comes down to this. His partner with the two children, if he's not back in Sydney, she could move to Perth, and then he would barely see the kids at all. She wants him close by to help out with the day-to-day stuff that a father helps out with, picking them up from school, so on and so forth, and it's difficult for him to do that in Auckland.
Mm. I hope it works out for him. It'd be very difficult for him to do that in Newcastle too, by the way.
He'd be on the Central Coast. He did it last year. He lived with his mum. The concern with the Central Coast, TK, is the drive to Newcastle. When you've got a bad back and a bad hemi, sitting in a car.
And driving to Sydney to
all that driving.
Anyway, I hope his family life works out. That's the most important thing. And Newcastle, unfortunately, remind me of that bold front runner at the racetrack that just keeps getting pipped in the shadows of the post. Yeah, there's another one flashing down the outside.
So right.
And I feel I like what Nathan Brown's trying to do, but it's very, very difficult just to get that.
But this is the one. If
that's right.
If you can get this one over the line and it's – for a player of Kieran Foran's calibre, I just don't think the field is as strong as it possibly could be. I think this is their real chance. And look, for the game itself, it needs a strong Newcastle. Geez, we've almost had a decade where Newcastle have been a pretty weak club. Those days back in the 90s are fading fast. I've got to be objective, but I wouldn't have any complaints if he went there.
Okay. We'll take calls as well. All things rugby league on the agenda, 13-53-53. If you call now, you'll get through. Josh Masood, seventh tackle, our special segment here. We'll take your calls on 13-53-53. Text messages 0419-767-272. Mate, it's going to be interesting, these relationships about when players sign, whether they keep putting in. Plenty of focus will be on Mitchell Moses now at the West Tigers, denied.
Jack Bird, yeah.
Jeez, Jack Bird. Greg Bird.
I wonder what he's up to over in the south of France. How fluent do you think he's become?
Putting on weight, I imagine. Now, Jack Bird and Shane Flanagan, this will be interesting because they were desperate to keep him. I had to keep reminding everybody, Cronulla are devastated. He was a Dragons player.
That's right. I found some of the comments a little bit
I got the feeling like Shane, and Lyle, not so much Shane, but Lyle came out, Lyle Gorman's, all the work and effort Shane's put into him, but he was a Dragons junior.
That's true, but I think some of that is behind the scenes. Jack Bird has a unique personality, and they have catered to that personality, letting him do recovery sessions at different places, giving him exceptions that aren't extended to some other players. I think that's more what they're talking about. Now, from Jack Bird's end, there's been rumblings about his relationship with the coach for months leading into this, and when Brisbane jumped out of the ground, and we made the Bennett connection that Bennett went to the house when Bird was only 13 or 14, signed him up to the Dragons. it all became clear that the coach was a big issue for him. So how Shane Flanagan handles what is a bit of a personal stab from Jack Bird, like, I'm going there to be coached by Wayne Bennett. You've just won a premiership, Shane Flanagan. Let's not forget, he's the reigning premiership-winning coach. Right. He's entitled to maybe have his nose a bit out of joint on that basis alone. So how he sort of manages those feelings and emotions throughout the year will be interesting.
All Let's right. get to the open line. Hi, Matt.
There, Matt.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good, mate. Yeah. Everyone's listening, buddy.
Well, Flat, firstly, why so much for TK 50,000?
Well, yeah, no. Well, I was trying to be fair, mate. Just keep him a little bit inflated.
Oh, I've got a wife and two kids, Matt. Give me a break.
No, I'm only stirring the pot.
You're okay, buddy.
Well, foreign Sharks would be better suited. I don't go for the Sharks. You got a lot better support group like Gallen and co there. But then where does Townsend go? Does he go to Newcastle?
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I've heard that one, that the Knights are looking at him as a fallback option. So, yeah, it's Jack Bird obviously freed up a hell of a lot of money. They offered him around $850,000. So there's a large chunk of what Foran would want. He'd want a little bit more. But they've definitely got the means to do it. They're also chasing Madalino as well, his current Warriors teammate. He met the Sharks last week too. So that could be a bit of a package deal for them down there. But at the moment, I don't think they can compete financially. Newcastle and the Warriors are the two clubs with the most money.
Go for it, Bob.
Yeah, all right, guys. Listen, there's a big rumour going around Parramatta that Mitch Rain has asked for an immediate release from the Panthers and Parra wants to sign him. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, definitely have heard that. Parramatta sent a couple of officials along to a New South Wales Cup game 2 weeks ago to have a look at Mitch Rain. I made some follow-up calls on this last week and I was informed that it wouldn't be going anywhere. There was some interest, but it wasn't going to be going anywhere from Penrith because they wanted to keep him there for depth. So, but these things can change. I mean, look, this was before Parramatta had that breakthrough victory. Kayser Pritchard, a very, very solid athletic player, but is he offering enough in attack and variety out of dummy half? That was the concern for the Eels because they've really only got one point of attack.
It's got legs, Bob. There was some talk about Nathan Peets as well, you know, coming back from the Gold Coast to rejoin Parramatta. That would be, I think, their position number one. But I think Mitch Rain would be the best player not playing first grade. Currently.
Yeah, well, Peetsy's already said he doesn't want to come back.
Yeah.
It would be a tough one for Peetsy, wouldn't it? I mean, it was a bit of a slap in the face last year of all the players.
They didn't want to get rid of
to move on. Well, they did have TK. What they could have done, I mean, looking back on it now, it was ridiculous for them to think they could have made the finals.
Yeah.
They could have only lost two games. And to get rid of your long-term plan, which Nathan Peetz was the hooker, a central player in that plan, to go for a pie-in-the-sky wild goose chase making the finals, needing to win 13 out of 15 games, probably in hindsight, not a great decision.
All right, Josh, I think we've got Shane on the line. G'day, Shane.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, mate. Go for it.
I just wanted to ask Josh, with the under-20s going next year, you're probably going to have 250 young kids. Probably half of them will go to the state leagues. You're going to have about 120 young kids in the under-20s just left on the scrap heap. What's going on with the NRL's decision there?
Yeah, it's a tough one. So basically what they're looking to do is for those state league teams like Newtown and Mount Pritchard, that they want them to have under-20s sides as well. So they'd go into that system, into a state league cup that would only be played in New South Wales. And then the Queensland equivalents would also have under 20. So your Redcliffes, your Wynnum, Manlys, all those clubs would have under 20s in a Queensland state-based competition. So I still think there's going to be the spaces for those players. They're just not going to have the profile that they did when they were playing in NRL colours and getting on planes and playing at the top venues.
Good on you,
I
Shane.
I think it'll water things down a bit for the young blokes because they won't be rubbing shoulders with the first graders and they'll probably find things even a tougher pathway to get through.
Yeah, double-edged sword though. You talk to a lot of the old school players who were around when reserve grade was the stepping stone to first grade and they don't like it at all. They feel that these kids are too far ahead of themselves. Back in the day,
well, they are.
The jersey flag competition was definitely a third, fourth rate competition. Blokes weren't rubbing shoulders with first graders back then and I don't think they should be. I think you should be playing against men. Have a look at Matt Frawley from the Bulldogs. 2 years in a reserve grade competition playing against men. He steps into first grade, totally accomplished.
You've got to just be resilient enough and you've got to be financially stable enough somehow to survive that. But I agree.
Yep.
I mean, I, yeah,
If you wanted enough of
Manly
these guys.
Manly once fielded three internationals in their front row and reserve grade.
It was tremendous back then, and you'd get people rocking up at midday, 1 o'clock to watch these
guys
play.
But what you'd do, Josh, the difference was that blokes just played for footy. They did, like, so you'd have, at the back end of their career playing reserve grade, then they'd be able to mentor the young blokes who were coming through.
Yeah, that's why the system
and
works
it was a
so
great,
well.
It was a great mixture.
But you talk about the resilience, TK. These guys are 2021.
Yeah.
When I was 2021, I was lucky to be on 20,000, 30,000 a year. You have to work your absolute rocker off to get to where you want to be. Football's no different.
I think Nate Miles tells that great story when he first went into the Bulldogs system. And it was a matter of they were in a house and there were eight of them. They said, you know, the reality is that only one of you will make it out of this eight.
And he was the only one?
No, it wasn't. No, it was unbelievable. There were about four of them came through.
Because Willie was in that house. Sonny was in that house.
It was unbelievable, yeah. But the reality is four blokes from the under-20s will probably go on and play a fair amount of first grade.
Which is the same for most sports, really.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's how it should be.
They,
it should
they
be
get a
very
little
elite
bit
pathway.
Ahead of themselves.
Josh, we thank you, mate.
That's all right. Absolute pleasure to be back.
Fluke. Great stuff.
Oh, yeah, you had a week off.
That's right. See you
next week.
Liam was very good.
Nice and fresh, yes. Yeah, he's a good man.
Good on you, mate. See you next week.